Hello and welcome to the Three Drinks In podcast, episode number 83. In this podcast, we review the film Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and wait for our invited guest, Michael Rooker, to show up. Before we get into all that, though, do us all a favor. Head over to iTunes, hit that subscribe button so you never have to miss an episode, and give us a rating while you're there. 5 stars would be great, but really, any kind of feedback would be preferable to nothing at all. If you guys enjoyed our Twitter poll this week, we'll be sending out some more of those. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at the number 3 Drinks In Pod. It's at 3 Drinks In Pod. We are 3 Drinks In Podcast on Instagram, on Facebook. And questions, comments, concerns, complaints can be sent to 3drinksinpodcast@gmail.com. But most importantly, head over to iTunes and give us that rating. Okay, that's it. Sit back and enjoy. Thanks a lot.
How do you know about this?
I don't even know what that is. I'm just a junker, man. I was just check us out.
You don't look like a junker. You're wearing Ravage of God.
It's just the outfit, man. Ninja Turtle, you better stop poking me.
What is your name?
My name is Peter Quill, okay? Dude, chill out.
Move!
Why?
Ronan may have questions for you.
Hey, you know what? There's another name you might know me by.
Star-Lord.
Who?
Beverage of the day. What do you have there?
A Blue Point Toasted Lager. American style amber ale. Or amber lager. Not ale.
Amber lager. I myself have a Lake Placid Craft Brewing Company Ubu Ale.
Ubu.
Ubu. I believe it's a kind of dog. I looked it up the other day. Something to do with a dog. So the mountain village of Lake Placid was once home to a legendary chocolate lab named Ubu, the biggest dog you've ever seen with an uncanny nose for great beer. Deep garnet red in color, this English-style ale is a tribute to the legacy of Ubu.
So the dog was brewing his own beer?
I think that's what they said.
Or he could smell it?
You could spell beer and pretty much everything else.
Well, we have that in common, so.
Because he was a dog. Yeah. Dogs smell things.
Yeah, it's sort of their thing.
Anyway, it's a very English-style dark ale, which I like a lot. Hmm. And I had it, we were at a wedding a couple of years ago up in Lake Placid. Hmm. And I just sat down at a place and tried it. I was like, oh, this is really good. And then I found it over here. I went, great. So it's a nice sort of refreshing dark, but not like heavy. Mm-hmm. So it's got the Adirondack Chair logo, which is nice.
Don't they all have that? Like the ones in the Northeast?
Yeah. I hadn't been to Lake Placid before this wedding, too. So it was nice to sit in an Adirondack chair in the Adirondacks.
Yeah. Makes you appreciate what they were looking at when they were always like in regular chairs and they were like, we have to lean back. Why don't we just build the chairs this way? Anyway.
Yeah, your video feed is actually really weird. It's off from your face.
Oh, that happens. The sound is fine.
Yeah, it's not catching up though. It's very distracting to see you like, I'm talking 5 seconds ago.
Yes, I have a new podcast location, so still figuring out the internet.
Yeah,
but all right, it's still recording, so
oh, there you go, you're synced up again. That's exciting.
Good. I'll try not to move much.
Yeah, so we're just shooting the shit waiting for Michael Rooker to show up because he's not here yet. Invited guest Michael Rooker of Mississippi Burning fame.
Yes, he was also in The Walking Dead.
Oh, right. Yeah. He was the guy who cauterizes the wound from his personally sawed-off hand on a still-hot griddle.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty gruesome.
Yeah. I gave up on that show. I shouldn't say I gave up. I was too scared shitless of that show to continue after the first season, which was really good. And the second season just began with like a whole terrifying thing in a bus or whatever. I'm like, you know what? I don't have the blood pressure for this show. What happened to that character?
He got picked up by a bunch of other people, and he became like a enforcer kind of guy for some thug. And they gave him like a knife for a hand, you know, like a metal hook or something. You know, he died eventually, but
we all die eventually.
Yeah, he wasn't in it. He wasn't in it until like the third or fourth season. I mean, that show was
really. He vanished for like a whole season.
Yeah,
or two.
Back when they didn't know what they were doing. So
let's take this one really interesting character who's proven he'll go to great lengths to survive and disregard him for some time. Yeah,
never mind. I'm sure he's around somewhere.
Did they ever get back to the guy in like the black guy in the house with the sniper rifle?
Yeah, that guy came back.
Like, that's a thing that, like, okay, fine. So the guy with a radio in a house in the tiny life, like, that's a guy you can leave behind and come back to years later, and it's sort of cool.
Yeah.
And see, like, what kind of horrible things have happened to him in the interim.
Yeah, like, he went a little nuts because his son was turned into a zombie.
Oh, because the son was alive when you saw
him. Yeah, like, when you first meet him, it's his wife who's sort of wandering around. Yeah. And then when they meet him again, like, the same thing, like, 2 or 3 years later, he's also, like, a little now unhinged because he's suffered so much.
Yeah, wow, man. So much fun, those shows.
I know. And they're like, oh, we got 10 more seasons worth of storylines. I'm like, that is just not going to happen.
That's sad for you that you could think of 10 more depressing seasons of a show like that. Like, it's not bad, but you know, every now and again, we need to take a break.
Yeah, it still pulls in huge numbers. So,
people love zombies.
What do I know?
So, he's not here yet. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of the movie? Well, we can hash out some of the more disappointing aspects of it before the, you know, one of the principal characters arrives.
Of the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
That would be the one, yes.
I didn't like this movie very much. I was kind of like upset sitting there, like, I'm not enjoying this. Maybe it'll get better later, and then it was over. I was like, all right. So, can anybody tell me what the plot of this movie was?
Oh, I can. Ooh, me. Oh,
yeah, Vince in the front row.
Do you remember the episode of Star Trek Voyager where it was after they had taken on those Borg children just to, you know, spice things up? And the older of the, like, the Borg teenager, Icheb, they, you know, the whole thing is like, we're going to bring these kids to their families, and that's what they really want, is to be reunited with their parents again. And they come across Ichep's family's planet, and there they are on the planet. And he's like, look, I found the thing I've always been looking for. They're my parents. And the Captain Janeway is all like, oh, this is great. We can reunite you with your parents, and that'll be really good for everybody. And Seven of Nine's like, I don't know. There's something fishy about these people. This just seems kind of strange. Everyone's like, don't do that. You're just jealous and blah, blah, blah. And you should want him to be happy and leave him alone. And turns out that his parents were not basically monsters, but they were using him for their own purposes to inflict some kind of damage on the Borg. And it's the same fucking plot as the movie. It's the same fucking plot as the movie. Like, this movie, in addition to being a poorly made film on a variety of levels, was also really tired. Like, this is an incredibly familiar plot. You have a main character who's missing a part of his past. He wants something very badly, you know, and, you know, being reunited with your long lost father is a pretty standard kind of thing you would want. And then he comes across the thing very early on in the story, and it seems too good to be true. Like, the plot can't possibly continue after this point because he's got everything he needs. And then one of his friends is like, gee, main character, this seems suspicious to me. Don't you agree? And then they have an argument where the person's like, well, why don't you want me to be happy? You're just jealous of me because I have what I want and you still don't have what you want. And then they have an argument, and then, oh my God, it turns out that that skeptical friend was correct all along. And there's this huge problem with the thing you really wanted. And it's even, you know, it's you're kind of back where you started from, but you realize that now you have all these new friends that whatever the fuck it is. Like, that's really common. It was, I mean, that's one of the many problems with this film, including the fact that this is one of nine plots in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, like, you're right. It's, I met my long lost father and, oh, he turned out to be evil. But they don't get to that for like an hour and 15 minutes into the movie.
Well, right, because they have to have, you know, the bullshit with the sister, and then the raccoon has to do something, and then the blue guy has to do something.
But like, I was so bored watching the first half of this movie. I was like, where is this going? Like, what is what are we getting to here? You know? Because you're right, they had all that stuff with, like, oh, they need her sister to bring her in for a bounty, and Michael Rooker's character was feeling upset about what he's done, and yada yada, and it was like, well, this is going on a long time. Everything that they took in the first hour and 15 minutes could have really been condensed into, like, 20, you know?
Yeah.
There's the whole scene where the raccoon is fixing the spaceship at night, and all the guys are coming to get them. And he ambushes them, and he has all the devices in the forest set up, and that goes on and on. And then when they capture the raccoon anyway, Michael Rooker's like, we're not going to kill him. We're just going to take what he has that we need for our mission here. And then all of his men turn on him. Well, it was obvious they were going to do that in the beginning scene on this like frozen planet with Sylvester Stallone's character. Remember when they like kind of set it up that like, oh, he's going soft? Just do it then. Like, why do we have to have a long, drawn-out scene?
Yeah. And I also really didn't like... I mean, we can get to the fact that Sylvester Stallone was just kind of shoehorned in there for no reason whatsoever. But the whole retconning of those characters... Like, in the first movie, he's a vicious pirate. And he really, you know, he brings with him a lot of terror. You know, like, you really don't know what's going on. There's some humor in him, too. But...
This is Michael Rooker's character?
Yeah, yeah, I can't think of his freaking character name.
Yondu.
I knew it was an ooh name. Mm. So yeah, like they didn't really, maybe they hinted a little bit at like the paternal aspect of him in the first movie, but not really. He was still generally like, you know, a slave trader at that point. And now all of a sudden, like he's ostracized by his clan because he dealt in kids and you never deal with like Chris Pratt's character is like 25 years old.
No, he's supposed to be 34.
Well, okay. Ooh, even worse.
Yeah.
But like that happened a long time ago.
Right.
That he kidnapped the kid. And now you find out why that, you know, Chris Pratt's dad had arranged the whole thing. But, like, they're mad at Michael Rooker for a thing he did, you know, basically, what, yeah, like 20 years ago. And it seems like they're just learning about it now.
Yeah.
That didn't really make a lot of sense, unless I missed something. Like, they all found out that this guy was a kid he had kidnapped for somebody else and then kept. Like,
well, and the idea was that he'd done that a lot. He'd picked up a lot of kids.
Well, he had. He was working for Ego, going around and... But
how...
Actually, wait, hang on a minute. Didn't Ego say he couldn't have spawned with the other people, where the humans and him could produce offspring?
No, he could, but they weren't all, like... They didn't all carry the celestial genes that he needed.
Oh, okay.
So Yondu brought them to him, and when he found out they weren't any use to him, he would kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So how long has that plan been going on, and how old is Yondu? Has he been doing this for a million years?
I mean, there was a big pile of bones in the middle of that planet. Yeah,
there were like 1,000 dead bodies there or something. I was like, whoa, wait, how long has he been doing this?
Yeah, so not a lot of that crap made sense. Not to mention, like, it was really convenient for them to sort of, you know, give an odd backstory to the clan of pirates who are big into fireworks.
Yeah, I didn't realize there were that many of them. 100 groups of those guys? That's a lot.
And it sort of, you know, kind of declaws them if they have some kind of a code that they live by. And isn't it more terrifying if they're, you know, kind of renegades and and rogues.
I mean, every time you come up with the honor among thieves thing, it just sort of, it also goes out the window when it wants to. Because they threw all those other guys out the airlock and they turned on Michael Rooker.
Yeah.
And I was like,
and you can't back into that too. Like, you have to start from that point. Like, this is who we are and this is what we do. It was the entire premise of the show Firefly.
Right. And in the first movie, you get that pretty quick. Like, okay, here's a bunch of guys that are up to no good most of the time, but they hang out together. They're some sort of club or a pirate ship or something.
Yeah, you know? Like, they're evil, but at the same time, you know, it was still a comedy. It was like a lighthearted sort of romp.
But, yeah, it's just like a group of henchmen. They're not the worst thing in the galaxy. Yeah. You know? So you didn't like Ego? The living planet.
That was a thing. That's not a new thing. I heard that before.
Yeah, that's
right?
A thing. I was like, stunned when I heard he was going to be in it. I was like, they're going to use Ego, the planet with the face?
Right. We talked about
it. Yeah, remember?
Yeah.
And he had the face in the movie at one point.
Oh.
I was like, how are they going to do that? Yeah. I mean,
I totally forgot we had this conversation, like, I can't believe they're going to. Yeah, and then. Okay, yeah. No, it didn't work.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's the best way you could do it if you were going to, you know, represent that visually inside of a film, but.
What, having a big face on the planet, or?
Well, right, but no, but like having, you know, having the planet create itself out of basic self-awareness and then create a, you know, anthropomorphized version of itself.
Yeah, no, that was definitely, I mean, having like a Kurt Russell avatar, I thought was a good idea. Especially if it's a movie where you're talking to humans. So it's.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to have the talking planet.
Yeah.
I mean, forgot. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking, why is his name Ego? It's a little on the nose, isn't it? And then I realized, just now that we talked about them, they were going to be doing that. Huh. Interesting. So, yeah, no, it was. That was dumb. That was really stupid.
Yeah.
All right. So that was one problem that I had with it. The other problem I had was the inability, it seems, for there to be a coherent and, you know, satisfying fight sequence. Like, all the action sequences. I mean, the best one, and it wasn't even that good, was the stuff in the forest with Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, they kind of take turns showing how he's booby-trapped the entire area because he's, like, a super genius or whatever.
Right.
But, like, the whole first big action sequence you don't get to see because you're following the baby plant around for 5 minutes dancing to that great song by ELO.
Yeah.
You know, it's all done, in the background, so you can't really... Which is kind of clever until... You never get to see really any of it.
Right, like I chuckled
until the very end.
You know.
Yeah, it was cute for a second. But then, like, all the fight sequences were kind of like, it was just a big mishmash. I shouldn't say fight sequences, I should say action sequences. Kind of a big blur. Like, you know what's going on, but you really can't see very much of it. It's not very, very clear. And it wasn't like it was all shaky cam. It was just frenetic and kind of bounced around from it cut a lot back and forth to different people and places.
It reminded me of like the Lego movie where it was just action everywhere, you know.
Which works in the Lego movie because it's just funny that it's all Legos and it's amusing. Here you spend a lot of money on some CGI and I can't really tell what's going on.
Yeah, because it was all spaceships and it was like all the golden people's little spaceships versus their spaceship versus the Ravager spaceships. Like, there wasn't any hand-to-hand fighting or anything like that.
No.
There was the where they went the full Matrix at the end when they were fighting and flying in midair and they were punching each other into mountains and it was clearly they were CGI and I was like, this is pretty lame. You know?
But, yeah. Like, he makes Pac-Man for 3 seconds.
Yeah. David Hasselhoff was there for 3 seconds.
I was wondering how he'd show up, and there he was. Yeah. What else sucked about this?
Who are you? I think they focused on them too much. you know,
on who too much
on the characters. There's such a tight focus on the people this time. It's like in the last movie, they went places and did things. They went to Xandar and they went to the prison and they went to the place with the collector. You know, they were all around. You would see other people and they would talk about things in the galaxy. And they would talk about Earth. Like it was just one more pit stop. They're like, oh yeah, Earth, that's where I'm from. Ugh. You know, and like you got the sense that there was a lot going on that didn't even involve them. And in this one, you don't. It's them from the minute one and they meet the golden people, the sovereign. And then they go right to Ego's planet. And that's it. And you spend some time with the space pirates, but they're all on their ship. And then they jump all the way back to Ego's planet. Like it was so, the script was so tightly focused on everything. I guess that's why those scenes were so drawn out, because they didn't have anything else going on. I was like, I wonder what everybody else is doing right now. Because these people are boring.
Yeah. They were just talking to each other.
Yeah.
You know, you'd cut here, they'd be talking. You cut there, they'd be talking. You'd cut over there, and they were talking still. And they were never together, right? Also. Like, they separated in the beginning of the film, and they never really got back together.
Yeah. I was thinking of...
In any meaningful kind of way.
I was thinking of Star Trek Beyond a lot. Because I know most people didn't see it, but in that, after the ship crashes on that planet, everybody splits off into like pairs. And I thought that they would do that with this, and they didn't. So the raccoon and Yondu got together, and that was interesting.
Yeah, that was probably the best part of the movie.
Yeah, but then Gamora and Star-Lord and Drax, they sort of bum around the planet. They don't do much. Drax really doesn't do much. He just makes funny jokes every so often. You know, like put them together with different people. Have them react to one another. Give them a purpose for being there.
But like Rocket's whole goal initially was just to stand in one place and fix the ship. And yes, he gets kidnapped and then they move on from there. But like, it's not a lot to start off with. I mean, like, okay, it gets more interesting when they have to escape from the crazy pirates and the guy from the Gilmore Girls helps them out, and which I didn't realize was he was on that show until I watched it with my wife. But he's featured very heavily in the Gilmore Girls, and there he is as a space pirate. I'm like, oh, hey, look, that's Kurt.
Yar, and I'll talk funny and fast like everyone in this town.
And like the joke on the Gilmore Girls was that he had 1,000 jobs. Yeah, like anytime there was a new job, there was like, you know, there'd be like a new coffee shop that opened in town or a new bookstore. He was always the guy working there. And it was kind of funny for a while. And then it got really funny when the love interest character was trying to buy like a fancy old house to impress the girl. And Kirk tries to outbid him and he has like 400 grand in cash. He's like, where'd you get this money? He goes, I've had 9,000 jobs since I started like 13. So I've saved it all for this. It was the only really funny thing the character ever did that wasn't annoying as balls. He's just like, I don't know if you've noticed, but I do all the work in this town. So anyway, I lost my train of thought here, but so all the characters were separated and, you know, that didn't help. They never really got together. They don't really do anything at any point. Like, there's just nothing really going on in this film. Like, I don't even know beyond, like, there's no grand thing they have to do. They just stumble into this guy and he ends up being really bad and they have to stop him.
Mm-hmm. And then they have all the golden people where Rocket steals their batteries, like those little, you know, glowing orb things. Yeah. And they get so upset because that's just the way they are, that they have to kill them. Because
we've been told that.
Yeah. But I don't understand why he stole them in the first place. Just because he could? Like, just to be a jerk? Was that his thing? Like, didn't he realize they'd get in trouble?
Yeah, like, sort of the issue that I was having was like, we just watched a whole movie with these characters that was really good where they, you know, they all have to find a way to work together to solve a mutual problem that that's been thrust upon them. And in this movie, they just go back to fucking hating each other.
Hmm.
for no other reason than, like, it's my personality. This is what I'd like. It's sort of artificial antagonism that's driving a wedge in between them once we've just spent all this time separating or taking the wedge out and making them work together for the first time. Mm-hmm. So, like, I can see that personalities would clash. They're guns for hire. It's like the A-team. They don't all get along all the time, but they still work together. There's none of that here, and it's like all of their separation and all of the emotion that's attached to it is sort of, it just feels kind of goofy and forced.
Yeah, well, I just don't, like, you get the sense that they're together at the end of the last one because they shared that experience, and now it's like, well, you know, he's not really that bad, and she's really not that bad, and you see that, like, okay, they're taking jobs together now, and they, because they get along, and they have common interests. You know, there should be sort of like a common respect that they don't really have. And they say at the end, too, they're like, well, like the raccoon says, like, what if I was a jerk all the time? Would you still have me around? He was like, yeah, of course. I'm like, I don't know. He's kind of a jerk. Like
all the time.
Like, all the time. Just making things difficult for no reason. You know, especially when you see them in the beginning and they all get along just fine without each other. So what's...
Yeah, there really is no reason for them to be together at all.
What's the benefit of having them as a team?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure the kids in the audience don't care, but I'm curious.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's... that. So I saw this movie last Tuesday, and I got there kind of late. So I, you know, one of the nice things about our local theater is that it's pretty small. And so, like, you can sit in the second row, and it's not ridiculous. It isn't like going to, like an IMAX and sitting close. So I was in the second row, and it wasn't the most, it wasn't the best viewing location for it, but it wasn't that bad. But I was sitting in front of these two women, young black women. They were having the time of their lives in this film. They were just having an absolute ball. And I'm kind of going, yeah, all right, so... Everyone was laughing. Everyone, like, I'm the only one sitting here yawning.
Yeah.
So, but, so the question I have now is, I mean, where are we in this universe in terms of its, the viability of creating real products that's any good and not just, you know, passable enough to sell toys? Which is the only thing that baby plant thing was supposed to do, is to sell toys.
Yeah.
Like, the funniest scene it had wasn't even that funny, because it was slowing the plot down a lot.
Is that where he keeps going back to get stuff?
Yeah, and he comes back with entirely the wrong thing.
Yeah, that went on a little too long.
Yeah, like once or twice, it's kind of funny, but like six times, and then he brings in the desk, and you're like...
And they said, that's a desk. And then he brings like a toe, and he goes, please tell me you have a drawer full of toes frozen somewhere on the ship. He goes, nope. I'm like, ew, how come no one woke up for this? What?
Yeah, like the desk, I believe, but like the toe, like somebody's got to be missing one somewhere. Hmm. Yeah, so like, has Marvel jumped the shark, you think?
No, I don't think so.
Because, like, if you take a look at, I mean, their first movie was Iron Man, and there'd been missteps here and there, but those first few movies were really quite good, and now we're getting into kind of like, this was okay, to this was pretty crappy, and I wonder if, you know, they've oversaturated things to the point where it's just like, I mean, if you look at their, like, all their TV stuff is generally pretty poor. Like, the network TV stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, they're bad. They're not good. Their Netflix stuff. Really, the only really good season that they put out on Netflix was the first one of Daredevil. Like, I watched Jessica Jones, but, you know, there's 4 hours worth of content there for a 13-hour run. You know, there's... It's possible that they're not going to be able to maintain the same level of quality moving forward until there's, you know, I don't know what the reason for these things, you know, being less than fantastic are, but you know, so maybe it's just too much, you know, toygenic conversations happening with Disney. Maybe there's just, you know, they're just not going to make movies for everybody. And that's kind of what we're doing, is we're going to everything pretty much.
Well, I mean, not all of them are good or interesting, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a good sign for them that it's like when Pixar started making movies that weren't as good. Everyone was like, oh my God, is this the end of Pixar? And it's like, no, but, you know, when you have a good run and then you start making things that aren't quite as good, it's just much more noticeable.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying this is the end of it. I'm just saying this is just going to be what it is now. And they'll be able to recoup whatever money that they put into this stuff. But is it just going to be like they're going to make two movies, you know, also like one movie a year that's good and three that are just really either not for me, or bad, or both?
I don't know. I think it just depends on what it is. Because, I mean, the first Guardians came out, and everyone was like, that's the weirdest fucking thing I've seen in a long time. And then we walked out of it like, wow, that was really interesting, because they took a good story with interesting characters and fun music. And in this one...
How much do you think that movie benefited from a low bar, though?
Yeah, I mean, pretty low. But it was still Marvel. Where we were like, yeah, you know, well, Thor was okay. And like even the worst Marvel movies are still like, well, that was all right, I guess. This one was like a talking tree and a raccoon. Like, that can't be right. Even the previews, I was like, that looks like the dumbest fucking thing. But we all went because it was Marvel. We were like, all right. So I didn't expect it to be the train wreck that was any of the DC movies.
Yeah.
You know.
Although I will say that I've watched a couple of the commercials for Wonder Woman, and if Chris Pine saves that movie, that's yeoman's work right there.
Yeah, you should get an Oscar.
Because he appears to be doing his best to do just that.
Well, that's what I'm worried about, is they're going to plop fun Chris Pine into a dour, depressing Zack Snyder film. Because like every...
Is he directing this one too?
No, but it looks just the same. Like, it's all the styles are all the same. Whenever Chris Bryant isn't in the scene, I'm like, ugh, the rest of this movie looks horrible.
Yeah.
Now, there's a movie that has expectations, quote, quote.
Yeah. I might go see it just because he is so much fun.
Yeah, no, he's good. And
yeah,
I'm curious to see how much of a train wreck it is. Like, is it just the locomotive that'll be on fire or the boxcars behind it carrying feminism?
It reminds me a lot of... in the commercials of the first Thor movie. You know, it's a fish out of water movie. There's going to be all these different kinds of ways to attack a superhero movie. And so there's the fish out of water story, and then there's the you know, like the team that has to find a way to work together story, and there's the guy that has to come to grips with his, you know, like Iron Man has to come to grips with his reality. And so like they all kind of have a hook. And they're all pretty standard. Like, this is what this movie is going to have to do. And in general, I think, with the exception of the Captain America movie, the Winter Soldier, like, the first ones are of a movie are going to be the best.
Yeah, I mean, usually. It depends. It just... this isn't based on Othello here. They're still based on comics. So they're going to be somewhat basic.
Right, but like, why? You know, like, everyone says that sequels generally suck, and that they're not as good as the original. And they've been called all kinds of names. You know, they're used just to make money. But now we're so ass deep, and just this, all we do is make sequels or things that connect. So, you know, what is the trick to making a good next version of a story that they were able to do in Winter Soldier, that they've, you know, and they were unable to do it with Iron Man 2. They kind of got back to it with Iron Man 3. So like, what's the secret to that, to keep that going? Is there one, or is it just based only on the character you have? And like, you can do that movie with Captain America. You can make an Iron Man 3, but you can't make a Guardians 3. Like,
I think the That is a problem they have in that, like, Captain America 2 is right after, you know, Captain America 1 and I guess the Avengers. But it really is a good sequel to the first Captain America. Whereas Iron Man 3 came out much later. So, like, it's him dealing with PTSD of the Avengers. Not anything that happened in the first two Iron Man movies. Mm. And at first you can say, like, well, man, you can take the character in different directions and this and that and the other. It's like, yeah, but it's focusing on some incident that happened in a completely different movie that this character happened to be in. So you're taking it in an offshoot that's not consistent with him. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like,
which in that case it worked because you got to tell a different story with the same character.
Right. Which is why, like, this movie was basically doing the same thing as it did in the first movie, which is, here's a bunch of people that don't really get along and they choose to be family. It's like, okay, well, they did that already and they're not part of the Avengers or anything yet. You can have them do something new. Why do the same exact thing? Or why base it off something they did in another random movie they happen to be part of? You know? I don't know why they just chose to do the same movie. But with but with less at stake. Like, I had no idea that Peter Quill missed his father that much. Was that a thing in the first movie? Or any movie? Like, why is that like, oh, I missed my dad all this time. Like, really? I thought it was your mother.
Yeah.
Like, why focus on his parentage at all? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, it's, yeah.
I
it's,
found that like, odd.
It's emotionally manipulative, that's why. Because you could do that, and, you know, it's a very simple story that everyone can kind of get behind. Oh, your dad. Yeah, everyone loves their dad.
Mm-hmm.
Great. You know, like, they're fucking playing catch with that light ball.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
I really didn't... The only thing I really couldn't stand was... like, I found it entertaining enough, I guess. But every poignant moment, of which there were many, was constantly being undercut by some horrible joke. Or a scene that went on way too long, you know. Like, they would always sit
there. Yeah, it was.
You know, and then my nipples hurt or something stupid or my turds are huge. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, it was if they, you know, in the middle of making a shit movie, they wanted to remind you what you enjoyed about the first one. Like, the humor, right? This was funny before,
yeah,
wasn't
but,
it?
Like, crank to 11. So, like, you know, like, they have a deep moment and the music swells and then whoopee cushion noise. And you're like, oh, God. Can't we have a moment here?
Whoopee cushion noise.
Yeah, that really got to me. The jokes were so heavy-handed. What did you think of the music?
That I found to be the... I just realized something. Sorry. The guy who plays the good pirate at the end, he's the brother of the director.
Hmm. That's helpful.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Don't
now.
Kill me off.
Like, why is this guy in this movie? I don't understand it. He's like, the music I thought was the best part of the movie. Like, anytime it came on, I went, ooh. And, like, it wasn't that, like, what was going on during the music was necessarily any good. It was kind of fun to watch, like, the, what was the song that was playing when he has that new head thingy that makes the arrow go?
Oh, Come a Little Bit Closer.
Yeah, like...
I actually knew that song kinda... from before the movie, too. I was like, oh, I love this song.
Yeah.
Although that scene was horribly violent.
Oh, yeah, but like it was a really good use of that song.
Yeah, I was like, oh, he's murdering like, all these people.
It's not a... You know, it's a good song, and I know it, and it's just like, oh, that's funny. But, like, it carries a lot more weight when that's what's going on, when you want to come a bit closer.
Yeah.
So it was effectively used there. Yeah, generally, the music was the best part of the movie, as it was with the other one. But, like, in the first movie, the music served as sort of an anchor. Like, it was so out there and so bizarre, and generally... kind of scary looking until they made some jokes, but the movie really kind of grounded it and said, like, yeah, you know, this is kind of fun. But yeah, this one is just, it was just, well, we have to put this music in because that's what we do in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's become you like know, a thing.
The music informed, it gave you information about the character in the first movie, and it in doing that also set the tone. Here, it's just, this is what we do in these movies. It's kind of formulaic, and I was glad it was there because it made it sort of bearable. But, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the music too. It was just, it felt a bit more contrived in how they got it in there, you know, where the raccoon was like, hey, you got any of his music around here? We can kill these guys too. It's like, just do it. Don't even have to explain it that's playing on the speakers or anything.
Why do you need a soundtrack for this?
Yeah, it's a little, and then it gets the zoom at the end.
That was a funny. Genuinely funny
yeah.
thing.
It was like, I found this in the dumpster. I'm like, yeah, it's a Zune.
Yeah, that's what they're all listening to back on Earth.
Yeah, but 300 songs.
Yeah, I don't think anybody got that joke, too.
Yeah, I don't know. There was only like six people in the theater when I saw it.
It's apparently a surprisingly deep cut.
Yeah.
I thought that'd be more obvious. That 300 is a comparatively small number. Yeah no. Somehow they missed that one.
Was there anything else you liked?
No.
No, nothing? There were some nice character moments.
There were?
Well, yeah. They were just buried under a lot of nonsense. The part where Michael Rooker is screaming at the raccoon for being a piece of shit because he's a piece of shit was a genuinely nice moment.
What, when they were in the prison?
No, it was much later, right before they were about to rescue everybody from the planet. Where he's like, hey, I know you. You talk tough all the time because you're really scared. That's the way I am, or whatever he says.
Yeah, you're right. That could have been. But
well, I was like, where was this the other hour and a half?
Yeah, it was executed pretty poorly. So, like, you know, I can't even give him a pass on that one because it was buried under a mountain of crap. Yeah, I mean, like, I didn't hate the movie. Some people really loathed it, but like I really just didn't enjoy it at all. It was not a good movie. Like I've sat through worse where I'm like, this is fucking awful. I wish I could leave.
Yeah.
Or I did leave. But like this was just like, this is not as good as the other.
Yeah, like this is just not as good. And that's how it felt when we went to see Thor 2. Where we were just like, wow, this is not good, right?
Oh, well, that was Drek.
Well, that's what I mean.
Thor 2 was really bad. Like, it didn't make any sense.
That's a Marvel movie where we were like, what? What happened with... I mean, the first Thor wasn't like Citizen Kane or anything, but they got Kenneth Branagh to do it. At least they hired a guy who knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Like, here, you fix it, you know?
We don't know. He uses big words and talks in complete sentences.
Yeah, he's good looking enough. That'll sell most of the merch, so...
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I am sort of, I'm looking here at all the, so, let's see. A lot more coming up. Do you think there's going to be any of this that's going to be really good?
I don't know what you're looking at.
like Spider-Man, Thor, Black Panthers, another Avengers, another Ant-Man. Freaking Captain Marvel, another Avengers, you know, a second fifth Spider-Man, and a third one of these. Like, I'm excited to see what they're going to do with Spider-Man after.
Is all of that before Infinity War, or is it in the middle there somewhere?
So Spider-Man, Thor, and the Black Panther all come out before the Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
After the Infinity War, you have Ant-Man, Captain Marvel, and another untitled Avengers movie. Hmm. And then this is post-Phase 3, you have another Spider-Man movie, and then a third Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, I'll see Spider-Man. I'll go see Thor only because the trailer looked better than the previous Thor movie. But when you look at that trailer, it kind of doesn't make any sense. Like, it's like they kind of tried to smash Guardians of the Galaxy together with Thor. and make it like a weird kind of 80s comedy romp.
Right.
When it previously was not. Now, to be fair, like, changing tack isn't the worst thing in the world because, you know, your previous outage with this character was, you know, it was a poor showing. But that doesn't necessarily make this decision to be, you know, a solid one.
Well, that's what's so odd about Thor and what made the first Guardian so interesting was that, like, outer space is a busy, weird place full of lots of weird people and things. Like, it bothered me that so many people in this movie already knew what Ego the Planet was. They were like, oh, yeah, that planet. Well, we know where that is. It's kind of far, but we'll take you there. And I'm like, how do you know? This guy, his whole purpose was, I'm alone and have been for eons. And then I found life and I don't care for it, so I spend my time staying alone. I'm like, yeah, that's weird. Man, space is weird. Look at these people all covered in gold. So when you watch the Thor trailer, you're like, yeah, there's Thor in space. Okay. But why the first two movies, when he's in space, because he's an alien of some kind, they just look like Nordic people. They still have swords and shields and stuff. Like, Thor wasn't handled well, even though he's from that sort of space place.
I think they're just kind of saddled with them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what I think that's the only thing with Thor is that, like, you know, we can make, we have to have this guy in there.
And that's what it looked like in the comics, I guess.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is that, like, nobody is looking forward to another Hulk movie, so they're not going to make one.
Yeah.
So the only reason to make more Thor movies is to make money.
Well, that's the reason to make them all.
Sure. But, like, you know you're not going to be able to make a good movie out of this because there's so many limitations on what you can do with the character. I don't care how... I mean, you could be Tom Stoppard. I don't give a shit. You're not going to write a really good Thor movie. You know, they, and they've given up on making Hulk, you know, into a, you know, to make more standalone films with him because it's just nobody wants to go see them. Mm-hmm. And they're not very good. So... Both those two things have to be true in order for you not to make a movie, it seems. And as long as one of them is, you know, is false, then there you go. Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at everything they're making, and I'm like, most of this stuff isn't really that good. You know, I don't have high hopes for it.
It could be if it's different. You know, Captain Marvel could be very interesting. It's a female superhero. And she's got...
It's a female?
Yeah. And in Marvel, Captain Marvel's a woman. And she's not related to the guy from the DC comics.
Oh!
Yeah, she's kind of like Supergirl-type powers. She can fly, super strength.
Yeah, I totally didn't catch that. Interesting. Yeah, in my head, it's just the guy from the... Yeah, it was just the guy from the Injustice video games.
Yeah.
So this is not the same character. Oh, all right. Well, that might be interesting. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying, like, there's not stuff that could be good. It all could be good. Spider-Man could be good. But I don't know. I have lower expectations now than I used to, and is that a good thing? Like, we went into Iron Man... You know, we got drunk at the goofy Mexican restaurant next to the movie theater. Yeah,
we drank, like, margaritas out of cactus glasses, you know?
Yeah. Like,
we had lower expectations than we did for that.
Yeah, like, there's no way this is going to be any good. 4 minutes into the movie, we're like, you know what? This might be all right.
Wow, I just remember turning to Craig, like, this is kind of good, right? It's like, yeah, it is. Like, the booze wasn't that good.
I mean, like, it really... That changed our entire perspective as to what a superhero movie was going to be. Because up to that point, you know, you had your one-offs here and there. We did a trilogy or whatever, like, but they're generally pretty bad. You know, the origin stories were only the only ones that were really worth going to see. And then you went to the second one to see how they, you know, what they did new. And then you begrudgingly went to the third one because you have nothing better to do, and it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Wow. But these movies now are like, this could be a really interesting thing with good acting and strong screenwriting and, you know, high production value up the wazoo.
Sure.
So, but you know, and that continued for you know, I actually didn't even see Iron Man 2, and I didn't see The Incredible Hulk, but that was supposed to be pretty good.
The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was okay.
Not great, but good.
It was. It was
again,
like
he's, you know, he's a hard character
than,
to
it was,
do.
It was better than this. It was a passable yeah. action movie.
I mean, Hulk just presents problems because he's not a superhero, really. He's, you know, it's a really horrible story about a guy who, you know, become it's a doctor, it's you know it's a Jekyll and Hyde story without any other kind of thing. Like it's Hyde is still a monster, and Thor and the Hulk is still a monster. He kind of has you know a moral compass while he's in that mode. But not necessarily. Like the whole thing in the Avengers when he turns into he tries to kill, what's her face,
Black Widow,
Scarlett Johansson. Yeah, Black Widow. Why? I mean, that's a good problem to have, but it doesn't make a good action superhero kind of movie.
Yeah,
sure. Because he spends most of his time trying to not be that guy. Mm-hmm. You know, and when he is, it's not necessarily like the most predictable thing where he can always go fight the bad guys. He might do all kinds of terrible stuff.
Yeah, my expectations were always after Iron Man 2 where I was like, well, this isn't very good. And then the Thor movies where I was like, well, this isn't very good. And then I saw the second Avengers and I was like, wow, that really, really wasn't good. So, you know, that's four out of however god many they have now, so... Yeah, I was, and I saw some reviews of like, well, it's not as good as the first Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, okay, well, I better not expect too much, and I was right. So, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes they swing and miss.
You want to do a quick ranking of the 15?
Of the 15 Marvel movies?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't.
Can we do that on the fly?
I don't have them. I have to get the list. I'm afraid my internet might go out again. let me look. I think the Avengers is probably the best. You don't think?
It's either that one or Iron Man.
Iron Man's pretty
good. I really like Iron Man. I mean, the ending of Iron Man is kind of weak.
No, the end of Iron Man's fine.
Well, guy in a big suit beats up another guy in a big suit. Like, it's good. It's just not, I don't know, the final act is what it all hinges on. Mm-hmm. And, what's better? The final act of, of the Avengers or the final act of Iron Man?
Yeah. All right, so here, you ready? Here's mine.
All right.
You want to write these down in case you need to compare. Everybody get out your notebooks.
Take out a pen, everybody.
Yeah, it goes...
Are we going backwards or forwards?
From top to bottom.
Okay.
So it goes The Avengers, Iron Man, Captain America 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, Captain America 1... Iron Man 3, Ant-Man.
Right, hang on. Guardians, Captain America 1. Six was Ant-Man?
Yes, Ant-Man.
All right.
Okay, then it is Age of Ultron.
Okay.
You're writing this down. Pen scratching noises. Yeah. Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
And then you have Iron Man 2. Oh, I forgot. Doctor Strange.
You're making mistakes here.
I forgot Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Okay, so stick Doctor Strange in anywhere in the middle is fine.
Wait, well, is it? All right.
It's better than Iron Man 2.
Okay.
Okay, Doctor Strange, Iron Man 2. And then what do I got left? Civil War. And then I think just the Thor movies. And then this.
So Thor.
Thor 2, and then you're missing one here.
And
missing
nothing. I think that's it, right?
There should be what? There's 1, 2, 3. This should be 15. I have 14. I have Avengers, Iron Man, Captain America 2, Guardians, Captain America 1, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Age of Ultron, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Civil War, Thor, Thor 2, Guardians 2.
Oh, did you say Iron Man 3?
No, where would that go?
Stick that under Doctor Strange. In case the tax man comes and needs the definitive list.
All right, so Phil's list, here it is, ranked, all the Avengers films. We have The Avengers, Iron Man, Captain America 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, Captain America 1, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Iron Man 3, Age of Ultron, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Civil War, Thor, Thor 2, and Guardians 2.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, for my list, it's got to be a little different because I'm missing two of these. So I didn't see Iron Man 2 or The Incredible Hulk.
And they're so missable. Like, you're really not, like, it's okay if you haven't seen those two.
So
Edward Norton was good, but
yeah, he's generally pretty good. All right, so here's what I'm gonna do. Kind of copying and pasting and moving shit around. So you put Age of Ultron before Civil War?
Yeah, it made a little more sense than Civil War did.
See, and I had said that about Civil War, and you're like, no, what are you talking about?
Well, it was a lot of fun to watch, but when you think about it too hard, your brain starts to melt out of your ears. Like, hey, wait a minute. This plot makes no sense.
Yeah. So yeah, mine's pretty similar to yours, although I put Iron Man first because I like Iron Man better. Then The Avengers, Captain America 2, Guardians, Captain America 1, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Iron Man 3, then Civil War, then Age of Ultron. Age of Ultron just was really confusing. And what I understood, I thought was stupid.
Yeah.
Like, the Ultron character was so poorly realized. I was like, this is just the dumbest goddamn thing ever. And then, actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put Thor ahead of it.
Really?
Yeah, because Thor was still like, I understood Thor.
Yeah, I just thought Thor was kind of boring.
It was. But would you rather be confused or bored? Like, I find confusion to be frustrating. I find boredom to be its own thing.
Just want to be entertained, man. You have 30 Thor. Seconds to wow me.
So was Thor 2 better than Guardians 2?
Yeah, because it was funny, but unintentionally funny. Like, that last half an hour, you and I were looking at each other like, this is the stupidest fucking movie ever. But we were laughing at it.
Yeah, we.
Whereas Guardians was like, they're trying to be so serious, but they're making jokes, and it's like, oh, then he died, and who cares?
Right. Yeah. So we're going to post this to our website. You guys can take a look at this in real time. By the way, before I totally forget, I was going to lead with this. We have the results of our Twitter poll as to
how many votes?
We had 4 votes. I was one of them.
We couldn't get one guy to break the tie.
I was one of them. You were the other one, I assume.
Actually, I don't think I voted this time. Because I was like,
all right, well,
I'm going to wait and see how many. I don't want to affect the outcome. Well, that's stupid.
That's
me.
True. I should probably not do that.
Then we'd have no votes.
So loved it. Better than the first. Got 50%. It was okay. Got 25%. Disappointed. Got 25%. And hated it. Got nothing. And the answer was disappointed.
Oh, I thought you were going to say hated it.
No. I mean, I didn't hate this movie. I hate other movies. I was disappointed in
The Warriors. I hate that movie now. Thanks for wasting 2 hours of my life.
You know, City of Angels. Hate that movie. But Yeah. So thank you, the three of you who voted. That was. I think we can do better, guys. I'm just saying.
When do you put these? Sometimes I think you put these polls out. Like, what was it? Like Saturday morning at 8 a.m. No one's on Twitter that early.
I don't know. I don't fucking do Twitter. That's why I put it on Instagram, because we have a stronger following on Instagram than we do on Twitter.
That's true.
And so I was hoping that I would direct people to go look at the Twitter page and then vote there, because there's no such thing as polls on Instagram. Yeah. And I think that the poll thing is the only interesting thing about Twitter anymore.
Oh, you got to go to you got to do it like at 12:30 when everyone's on their lunch break checking Twitter.
Oh, but all right. Well, that's what I'm doing
next time.
Yeah, next time.
So, okay. Anything else?
Christ, I hope not.
So, what's the next one that's coming out? Spider-Man. Spider-Man comes out.
That's the next.
Did you see 800 previews before your movie too?
No, I missed them all. I came late. I said, remember?
Lucky son of a bitch.
And it was funny. Like, I was saying to CJ, I was like, I should really leave soon. And she's like, why? There's going to be 20 minutes of previews. There were 4 minutes of previews. I walked in there as the movie was starting. I was like, oh.
I watched half an hour of previews. Literally, I timed it. I was like, there was one for Thor. There was one for Spider-Man. There was one for Alien. There was one for the Pirates movie. There was one for Planet of the Apes. Something else with Chris Evans that wasn't an Avengers. It was crazy. I was like, oh my God. I kept looking at my watch like, there's going to be a movie, right? When I was watching 2 hours of this big green screen and then a trailer.
Yeah.
What did you think of all the post-credit sequences? Did you watch them all?
Yeah. There were five of them?
Yeah.
Five stingers?
There were five.
I don't remember any of them. I remember the one with Groot as a teenager.
That was kind of funny.
By the way, they really paid Vin Diesel?
Yeah.
Really?
Easy money.
This is the definition of having cash to burn.
Yeah. They literally threw it like down a hole because they could have hired a computer. Siri could have done that.
They did. Siri. Played by Siri. In her first major motion picture.
Yeah, what's the fucking difference?
Although, in my case, Siri is a dude.
See? You can change it on your own. They could have hired you.
It's a little British man. I have a little British man servant.
The only one I actually enjoyed was the one with Stan Lee, where he was with the Watchers.
Yeah, so explain to me about the Watchers, because people were talking about that on a different podcast I listened to, and they were saying that like there was a fan rumor that Stan Lee is a Watcher.
Yeah.
And so who the fuck are the Watchers?
So in the cosmic hierarchy of the Marvel Universe, there's like the Great One, you know, God or the guy drawing the comic. And then there are Celestials, which they say Ego is, but he's not really. The Celestials are like giant beings that, you know, create life and make sure it works. And then you have other things like cosmic entities, which is Ego, the living planet, the living tribunal, Galactus. They're giant space things that there's only usually one or two of. And the Watchers are one of these cosmic beings where all they do is watch events because they used to be so powerful and they're like, eh, you know what? Let's not get involved. Let's just hang out and check it out. And of course, the one that watches Earth gets involved because, you know, it's a fucking comic book. So there's Stan Lee talking to them, explaining the things that he saw. So, like, the gag is that in all his cameos, these Watchers send him places to report on what he sees. I was like, oh, it's kind of clever, I guess, if you want to throw those guys in.
Yeah, that is sort of clever. I just don't. I didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
Yeah, like if you don't know, then you're just like, why is Stan Lee once again doing something weird? But
yeah, because he sticks out like a sore thumb.
Oh, I know. Every time you see him, I'm like, oh, Stan Lee. I
mean, he's had better cameos. Like the one where someone thinks he's Hugh Hefner was pretty good.
Yeah, when he's only in it for like a second.
Yeah, the more he does, the worse it is.
Right.
He teeters between cameo and, you know, guest starring role.
Yeah. Because, like, you know. like in Civil War, he was the mailman and he was looking for Tony Stank.
Yeah.
Womp, womp. Whereas in the first Guardians, he's just sort of there. Like they look at him through like a camera or something and like, oh, look at the old creepy man hitting on the women. And then they just cut to something else. I'm like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just flash on the screen. It's okay.
Cameo. Cameo. Think of Alfred Hitchcock when you think of cameo, okay?
Best cameo I ever saw was on Saturday Night Live. In the middle of Weekend Update, Steve Martin just walks onto the stage and stands behind Tina Fey. And they're like, hey, Steve, what are you doing? He goes, just doing a cameo. And he's like smiling at the camera. Well, did you want to say a joke or do anything? He goes, no. Well, how long are you going to be here? You know, just appropriate cameo length. Well, see ya. And then he walks off. That's all he did. I'm like, oh, that's technically a cameo.
There was a movie that Alfred Hitchcock did. He appeared in all of his films in some capacity. Mm. And there was one movie, I think it was called Lifeboat, where there was two people on a lifeboat.
What was he, a fish?
And they had a newspaper with them.
Oh,
and he was on the paper, like his silhouette or something like that was on the paper.
That's clever.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty. It's like, how is he going to get? The whole movie is them on a boat. Mm-hmm. What the hell? So the next Marvel is Spider-Man, I think.
Yeah, right? that's in July.
Is there really a lull in June?
Yeah, because Wonder Woman's coming out.
Yeah, Wonder Woman is so Baywatch is next Friday.
Yeah.
For Memorial Day weekend, everybody get excited.
Yeah.
And then Wonder Woman's after that. The Mummy's on out the 9th. And then, yeah, nothing really comes out until Spider-Man. Then it's like a, you know, there's Spider-Man, there's Planet of the Apes, there's Dunkirk. Ooh, there's a film called Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Yeah.
It's the guy who did The Fifth Element, and it's supposed to be really good.
Hey, you know, The Fifth Element wasn't that bad.
No, Fifth Element was great.
Because, like, the first Guardians reminds me of The Fifth Element. Like, you're either on board or you're not, you know? And if you like The Fifth Element, you're like, yeah, this is kind of weird, but whatever, it's a good time.
I mean, the weakest part about The Fifth Element was Bruce Willis.
No, what was the black guy's name?
Oh, Chris Tucker?
Oh, my God, it makes me want to take a mallet to my forehead.
Well, he's only in it for like 20 minutes.
Oh, he's in it way more than he should be, though.
Well, yeah, no,
and they drag him along. They drag him along to the end of the movie. I'm like, why did we take?
Do they?
Yeah, I was like, why did we take this guy with us? This is
horrible. Yeah, they did. Yeah, well, he had a contract.
Yeah. Other than that, I would say yes, Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Then Atomic Blonde, which is the same guy that directed John Wick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Charlize Theron. And then The Dark Tower.
The Dark Tower.
On August 4th. And then nothing. Like, August is a total, like, dead zone for films, apparently.
Yeah, that's usually what happens.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. That's when TV starts up again.
Exactly.
So.
All right, well.
Michael Rooker didn't come.
No. Again.
That's all right. You probably wouldn't have appreciated us ragging on the movie.
No, we really didn't care for it this time, which is too bad. Because I kind of was looking forward to this one a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, they had a lot to work with. They just didn't do a good job. So.
No.
All right.
All right. Well, to those of you who have voted in the online Twitter poll, we thank you for doing that. And please, if you're following us on Twitter, you should look forward to additional polls because I think they're fun. if you're not following us on Twitter, you should do that now. The handle is @3drinks, @3drinksinpod. That's @3drinksinpod. We are on Instagram also @3drinksinpodcast, all with letters that time. Facebook, we have the email address. If you have questions, complaints, comments, concerns, 3drinksinpodcast@gmail.com. And what you really want to do is you want to go over to iTunes and you want to subscribe to the podcast so you never have to miss an episode. And we most importantly want you to give us a rating. That's how we can help, how you can help us bring you more great content and possibly us some money. which would be good. Mm. Get some sponsors, because like I use things that people sell on the internet, like, you know, Harry's shave and a Casper mattress and all that kind of crap. So if you want to, you know, hear us talk about those things in addition to movies, you should give us a rating on iTunes and let the good folks at home know that we're here.
Just let the free market work its magic.
Indeed. Any other thing we want to mention here?
No, I think that's it.
You're all tapped out. All right. As always, please drink responsibly.
Yeah. Take care.
And we'll see you next time. Adios.
So big and so strong, come on in.